This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio.
Hold my head a little higher. Can't you tell I love a liar? I know what I look like to you. I would say it's excessive, or maybe damn impressive. I'll admit I'm confused. I've gotta remember that I'm just a toy. Though you got my hopes up and I'm annoyed. You thought you could drown me, damn it, you're right. So watch me fall for every damn stereotype. You can't help it, this is just how we were taught to love. Oh, there's a name for boys like you. And yet I feel lucky to hear your lines. I hate that they shake me up every time. Hold my hand for just a second. See you soon. What do we reckon? Maybe I'm not just a friend. We're so close, I thought we kissed. Turns out you're just good at this. But how about you do it again? Oh no, I gotta remember that I'm just a toy. Though you got my hopes up and now I'm annoyed. You thought you could turn me and damage your right. So watch me fall for every damn stereotype. You can't help it, this is just how we were taught to love. Oh, there's a name for boys like you. And yet I feel lucky to hear your lines. I hate that they should be up every time. Guess I'll take it, this is just how we were taught to love. Oh, there's a name for boys like you. And yet I feel lucky to hear your lines. I hate that they should be up every time.
Welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. That was Boys Like You by the amazing Dodie. Brand new music there. Here on the show, we do play exclusively music from LGBT plus artists. And I'm very lucky, very fortunate, in fact, today, because I am joined in the studio by the stunning, the gorgeous Lucy and the Mayor.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
Wonderful.
It's really, really great to have you here. And I know it's quite an exciting time for you right now, because yesterday you released a brand new track.
Yes, I did.
Tell us a little bit about that.
The new single is called Discover, and it's a very happy, positive, upbeat song, which has been a lot of fun to play, kind of running around London in the rain.
I feel like we definitely need a bit of like upbeat and happiness right now. It's very grey and dreary.
So it is.
You're bringing sunshine to our world.
I love it.
You do?
I do.
So you are from LA.
I am.
And I know like a lot of your music and your work is really kind of community focused. And I think that's really, really important. And I know that you even like you raise money off the back of your performances and your music and stuff. Do you want to tell me a little bit about like why you care so much about like the LGBT plus community?
Absolutely. Of course, it starts with, you know, self-identified bisexual activist, as well as being a part of our bigger community in Los Angeles. Something I realized early on was that shows are a lot more fun when you give them a little more meaning than just the music. Music is incredible and it brings people together, but when you involve like the LA LGBT Center, when you're raising money for something bigger than yourself, it really creates a really wonderful community. So that's something I started a few years ago with the Love is Gay concert that I started in LA, And we recently took it on tour, so we were raising money for local LGBT centers in every city that we performed in. Me with two other queer-fronted bands, Polytropica and Wazzy. And it was so much fun.
That's
amazing.
I
love it.
It's so lovely to hear. And I mean, because you headlined that concert, but you also helped kind of pull it together and promote it, etc.
Yes.
That must have been so much work.
It was. And you know, it was completely worth it. I was exhausted. But it's amazing how many people just come out of the woodwork and say, oh, I see you're putting on an LGBT benefit. How can I help? And there were artists and there were vendors and just people who wanted to volunteer. And it's really great.
I think that's the wonderful thing about, you know, the LGBT plus community sometimes. There is that kind of, there's a desire and a willingness to come together. And I feel like whenever anyone says, you know what, we need help with this thing, or, you know, let's all come together to do something for the greater good, then people, they do have that kind of willingness to come together.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful that you're kind of using your platform to channel that.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's really, really cool. And, you know, you should be so proud of everything that you're doing. Do you want to tell me a little bit more about your background? Because I understand that you have quite an interesting story. Something about a boat.
The boat.
Tell me about the boat.
So I started writing music. It wasn't something where I just woke up and was like, oh, I'm a musician. I'm going to be a songwriter. I was planning to become a therapist. I wanted to be a psychologist and help young women.
Mm.
And then I was going through a breakup, and it was awful, and I didn't know what I was doing. So I was staying on a sailboat over the summer.
As you do.
As you do. Why not? Why not? In California. And I had found a ukulele, a beautiful baritone ukulele in my dad's garage. So I had that with me, and I was just kind of learning to play it. And I started writing, and I just felt so empowered and so much better, even though I was still, you know, that post-breakup, just like,
yeah,
the world is ending and nothing is great. And it just pulled me out of it.
So you couldn't play any instruments up until that point?
I knew about 5 chords on a
guitar,
which is all you need, to be very honest, if you're writing pop or anything. That's all you need. But I transposed that to the ukulele.
No way.
I loved it.
That's crazy. And how long ago was that?
That was 5 years ago.
Wow, that you've come such a long way from being on a boat and picking up a ukulele and going, you know what, I'm going to try and play this.
To be very honest, I'll be back on a boat this summer. You know, it just feels like yesterday.
I love that so much. What a interesting, like, I was gonna say origin story, like you're a superhero or something.
Well, that is where the artist name Lucien Lemaire comes from. It's French for the sea, and I love to involve nautical elements in there.
That makes sense. I didn't know that. I'm not very good at French. Not very good at languages.
A lot of people think Lemaire means horse. I don't know why.
Because a mare is a horse, isn't it?
I see.
But that's in English.
We never use that. Yeah.
Yeah, that would confuse things. Mm. You mentioned the whole you were training as a therapist.
Yes.
And I guess that came from a root of wanting to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that having that kind of background kind of plays into how much kind of social good stuff you're doing now?
Definitely with community building.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are feeling extremely lonely, and we do turn to social media quite a bit to create that community, which I actually think is great. It's kind of controversial, but I think social media has done a lot of good.
Yeah.
As much as it has done bad. But I think being able to recognize the void that music fills for people, and then also encourage that to say, don't just come to a show, but here, talk to someone. We do a lot of moving parts during our show, so having the audience turn to each other and awkwardly slow dance.
I love that.
We have little traditions and call and response and tell the person next to you the best part of yesterday, things like that, to really just make it a whole event and a whole time for them. It's not just us, you know, trying to get all the attention on stage. It's about building that community.
I love that so much. So it's like a full-on experience. It's not just a show. You come along to take part and be a part of your community, I guess.
Yes.
Do you get people outside of the LGBT plus community coming along to your shows, or is that very much your fan
base? Absolutely. absolutely. It's a mix, and it's wonderful because it is a mix. And so you can talk about LGBT issues on stage, and you're not just speaking to someone who's already heard everything.
Yes.
You're talking to someone in the audience. You know, a straight white male in his 40s will show up to our show, and then he'll talk to, you know, a queer 15-year-old woman who's struggling right now, and starts a dialogue.
I know that you have you came from like a conservative background, or you grew up in like a small town kind of conservative vibe. How has that like affected like everything that you're doing now in your music?
It gives me a lot of perspective.
Sure.
I hadn't heard the word bisexual until I left the town.
Really?
Yeah. And even now there's a huge stigma in the States. And I was just speaking to someone from Bi Pride UK yesterday who was saying it's still very much overlooked and slightly frowned upon and misunderstood.
Yeah.
I would say growing up in a small town where it was mostly churches and not any representation has given me just a lot of gratitude for living in Los Angeles and being able to speak my opinion.
I think one of the things that comes up a lot with like bi visibility, et cetera, in general, is that, you know, there can be quite a bit of, I don't want to say hate, but like there's almost like negativity that comes from within the community.
Absolutely.
As well as outside of it. Is that something that you've ever experienced personally?
Oh, hands down.
Really?
Oh.
I mean, I sound shocked.
Yes.
But.
No, I mean, speak to any bisexual about dating within the LGBT community. And it's incredible how many times I've gone on a date with someone who identifies as lesbian, and the second I say I'm bisexual, they're done. They're
really?
Over. They don't want anything to do with me.
That's utterly absurd to me.
Isn't that funny?
I can't fathom that. Is it?
It's a thing. But it's a thing.
What is their logic for doing
great
that?
Great question.
Yeah, you're like, I don't
great
know.
Great question. It's almost, the concept of passing. You know,
yes.
I can be straight whenever I want to. That kind of idea. Pretty awful.
I've heard, I think this is something that bisexual people, also trans people, also like asexual people, etc., there's almost a stigma about them attending Pride. Mm-hmm. And I've heard different people from those groups feel like they've not been welcomed at Pride, and actually had people say to them before that they're not welcome.
Definitely.
I'm very good friends with a couple where one of them is a trans guy and the other is a bisexual woman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they go to Pride and they're holding hands and being open about their relationship, which is a wonderful thing. It's what Pride's all about. And, that they say they get distasteful looks and people looking at them as if to say, you don't belong here. Which
it's
I think is heartbreaking, you know, because this community is supposed to be for everyone. And I would go as far to say, you know, even I like straight people are 100% welcome as well. Mm-hmm. And if a straight couple want to come along and celebrate Pride with us, they're also welcome to share their love and celebrate their love as well.
I do too. I just love celebrating love. Yeah, that's the message behind the Love is Gay. It's a Valentine's event. So it's
I didn't know it was Valentine's.
Yes. So it's please come celebrate love in every form that you celebrate it.
I love that so much. That's
so important to be inclusive.
Yeah. Look at you changing the world one positive concert at a time. Well, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
I want to play some of your brand new music, but I'm going to make our lovely listeners wait a little bit for that.
Okay.
Keep them on the hook. So before we do that, let's have a little break and let's do a little bit of brand new Kim Petras. This is There Will Be Blood.
Save you now. Ain't nobody can hear you shout when I'm pulling you underground. Take a sip from the devil's cup, just a taste you won't get enough. Seal your fate when you swallow up. Don't let me in, I'ma ruin your life. Straight psychotic.
we release. You can run from your destiny. Up and down, you feel alive. And your pain is my paradise. So tonight you can pay the price.
On what we were just talking about, I wanted to ask you, how do you think we can make bisexual people feel a little bit more part of the community? What can I do? What can we all do to, I guess, try and help make things a little bit more inclusive? I know that's a big question.
Well, I think it's wonderful that you're asking that. And that's honestly the biggest thing you can do is be a little more curious and open to bisexuality. I think a lot of people hear the word and shut it down immediately. Because we have misrepresentation in the media. We're always played as villains in TV and movies. We're told we're in a phase. And the assumption really is that a man who says he's bisexual is just not ready to say he's gay. And that a woman that's bisexual is just in a phase and she secretly loves men.
Yeah.
So I don't know why we're all so obsessed with men. I love men. But it's the default is just...
Our society is obsessed with men. It revolves around men.
It's always the answer must be, oh, no. They secretly just want to sleep with men.
So do you think it's like almost like rooted in misogyny where that kind of biphobia comes from?
I do. I think the idea of a woman enjoying a woman and also being able to enjoy a relationship with a man separately is a little daunting.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, as the lesbian community has dealt with forever. The idea of two women being able to satisfy each other romantically, emotionally, physically, in every way is very intimidating for men.
And it's often seen as like that is something like for men's enjoyment, like
exactly.
a lesbian couple, oh, that's for like porn, etc. Whereas it's never accepted for what it is.
It's fetishized. And like most LGBT media, it's over-sexualized completely.
Yeah. I feel like there's this almost like this trope that we constantly see in TV shows and movies, etc. is whenever we have some like a little bit of bi representation, which is great, and it's like, oh yeah, we have a bit of bisexual representation. But then I feel like one thing that always happens over and over again is that we get these almost like bisexual people who like cheat on their partners and they'll be dating a guy and then they'll go off and cheat with a woman.
Yes.
And it's like done over and over and over again. And it's like that's not a fair representation of bisexual people. And in fact, of all the bisexual people in my life, I don't think any of them like ever have cheated on their partners or.
Right. So it's so frustrating.
Yeah.
And what's really upsetting is that if you identify as bi and you're in a relationship, a monogamous long-term relationship, sometimes the partner really does fear that you're going to cheat because you're missing out on another. They think of it as a half, as if you need both to be happy. And you don't. That's just, it's an attraction. You're attracted to more than one gender.
Well, I know it's not the same at all. And I don't mean to at all like diminish bisexuality by making this comparison. But like I can even think about, you know, sometimes I'm attracted to like a very small effeminate guy. And sometimes I'm attracted to like a very big masculine guy. And it's like if I'm dating one of those, there's no like, oh, my God, I need the other one.
Absolutely.
You know, and I feel like it's the same. But nobody judges me for that. Nobody's like feels insecure dating me because of that, and I think it's really kind of the same thing. It's bizarre.
It is.
I think we should play a game now.
Oh, okay. All right.
This game is
basketball.
called Yeah, shall we have a round of basketball? I cannot play rugby.
Really?
Like, oh my god,
it looks intense. I don't understand the rules. I just see people hurting.
I feel
each
like
other.
I think it's like I'm probably wrong, but I feel like American football and rugby are very similar.
Really?
I think so. I mean, you're asking
no
me
idea.
About sports.
No
I'm
idea.
I'm the last I'll person so. You should ask. this game is called Queers Throughout the Years.
Oh.
Now in this game, I have some like various facts about like LGBT plus history, etc.
Okay.
And together we're going to have to try and like figure out like whether they're false or whether they're true.
Oh, okay.
And we're doing like a special edition this week, so we've got a few twists along the way.
Lovely.
how are you with LGBT plus history? Do you feel like you're well studied up? there was a hesitation
say.
There. You're like, no.
You know, I don't know.
I feel like
know.
It's one of those things like I certainly never got taught any kind of like not
nope.
anything whatsoever Mm-mm. in schools. And then like you kind of have to take it upon yourself when you're an adult. And, you know, we're busy.
You do.
We don't
we
have time
Netflix
to crack a history book.
And that's about
that's
it, honestly.
That's where we get all our info. Okay, so let's dive right in with this. Our first one is Freddie Mercury once took Princess Diana to a gay bar in full drag. What do we think?
Ooh, I mean, I hope so.
It would be cool, right?
That would be epic.
I feel like I already know the answer to this one, so I'm not going to help.
Oh, what? Really? Well, I've never heard of that.
Mm.
I love Freddie.
And you would think that like if like Princess Diana was to go to a gay bar in full drag, that would be something that would like literally be plastered over the newspapers.
There would be a statue.
There would be a statue
right?
somewhere.
It would absolutely.
Yeah, you would hope so. Like,
I would make one.
I want to know, like, which gay bar did they go to together?
So it's she's in full drag.
She's in full drag.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think that happened.
You know? You don't think that happened? It seems very unlikely.
But I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to force you to commit to a truth or a false. What do you think?
No.
I'm afraid you're wrong.
Oh, my God, it happened?
It actually happened, yes, it did. I feel like I really led you down the, like, wrong path there by misleading
no,
you.
No, not at all.
Yeah, they were both smuggled into the Royal Vauxhall Tavern by comedian Cleo Rokos back in 1988.
Wow.
Yeah. So like,
that's
and I feel
beautiful.
Like I feel like you're absolutely right. There should be a statue. Like the RVT is still there today, and it's a listed building, so it can't
okay.
be like knocked down. It has to remain there because it's
that's
a part
great.
Of our history, which is really really important because I think that's rare for LGBT mm-hmm. plus venues to have that.
Definitely.
But I absolutely agree with you. Why do we not have a statue of
this
Princess Diana
happen.
And Freddie Mercury outside?
Let's find an artist. Let's get this commission going.
Let's get it going. I feel like the people of London
that's
would
wonderful.
Get behind that.
I love that.
Yes. Okay. Let's move on to our next one. So, this one's a question. Which LGBT plus person famously said, "I'd rather have a cup of tea than sex"? Was it Boy George, Sandy Toksvig, or Sir Ian McKellen? I don't know either. So, that to me sounds very. No, I was going to say that says sounds very Boy George. It doesn't sound very. No, does it?
I don't know. I mean, who doesn't like a good cup of tea? But
I love
I feel
cup
like
of tea.
It's. I think it's Sir Ian.
Do you? What makes you think Sir Ian?
I don't know. I can't tell you why.
I have nothing to back this up.
I have no information.
You just feel it in your bones. You feel
it
in
feel
your
it.
Feel it in
I
your
just
gut.
Feel it.
I will agree with you on that. I'm happy to go for Sir Ian.
Okay.
I could see him saying that.
You sure?
Sure. No.
I don't think you should.
Yeah, no, I am. Let's go with it. We are saying that this was said by Sir Ian McKellen. It was Boy George.
Oh, see, you had it.
I should have gone with my gut. But then
I
don't know what. I was like, oh, Boy George, but maybe Boy George was like.
I really can't see him saying that.
Yeah. Who knows?
Unless it was like a lyric, like a great lyric.
Possibly. Okay, our third one. We've got a little sound clip for this one. We have reversed part of a song by an LGBT plus artist, and we have to figure out who it is. So I've not heard this yet.
Like, play it backwards?
It's being played backwards.
secret messages.
I don't know how hard this is going to be. I feel like probably
gonna
very...
Is this going to make us straight? Like, when you listen to it? Like, how does this work?
Indoctrination. Okay, here we go.
What's
That's I know what that is. That's Janelle Monáe, is it? No, is that Janelle Monáe?
Oh, it's I know the song. Sound like
it's oh no, no, it's not. It's
the new record.
It's not Janelle Monáe at all. I'm talking absolute rubbish. oh, let's hear it again.
It might.
I feel like I knew what it was, and then I started doubting myself, and now I
because it sounds like that little breakdown, and she just performed it on like the VMAs or something.
Maybe?
Can we listen
to
it again?
Yeah, let's go again. Yeah, it's I know the song, but now I'm like, who the hell is that by? And I feel like it's really obvious. But because it's backwards, it's playing with my head.
Yep.
it's The Way You Make Me Feel, is that the name of the song? And I'm like... Yeah, yeah, that's the song.
That is Janelle Monáe.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm really doubting.
Now
okay.
We're all thrown here. No, no, you're right.
Are we sure?
Yeah, because it always reminds me of Prince. And when she performs she channels Prince. And she's like...
Yeah, and I was about to be like, no, wait, is that Prince? No, it's not Prince.
No.
I think it's because it's backwards. It's making me think it's Prince, but yes. It's not Prince. Okay, we're...
she's such a babe.
We're tentatively saying it's Janelle Monáe. Final answer. It is Janelle Monáe, The Way You Make Me Feel. Nailed it. Absolutely
beautiful.
Nailed it. We should.
Well done.
Why do we keep doubting ourselves? We should just...
We're insecure.
We're insecure people. It's very true. Okay, our next one. Freddie Mercury once had a dental appointment that was responsible for a rock group becoming famous. Which one was it? The Sex Pistols, The Clash, or The Ramones? I'm really... How can a dental appointment make...
Yeah. That's all the story we get.
I'm really... Oh, because Freddie Mercury had, like...
Large teeth.
Extra teeth. He had, like, six extra teeth or something in his mouth, which gave him this very big mouth. So maybe that's somehow tied in... Like, maybe he met somebody in the waiting room and was like, I like your music. Let me help. Do you want to come support our band? Or
That'd be nice. Sweet. I like that story.
Like, maybe... but this is true. We're not debating whether or not this is true. It's whether it was the Sex Pistols, the Clash, or the Ramones.
Okay, let's think of
time. I think Sex Pistols, like, early enormous. 80s. Like, right. Huge, huge, huge band. Like,
when did they get big?
I don't know.
Okay, and then we have Clash.
Yeah, or the Ramones. I don't know very much about the Ramones, to be honest.
They're fun.
I think I'm just gonna have to like do a guess. So what are you leaning towards? Sex Pistols? Okay, we are saying
that's just because I'm here in London.
We're saying that it is the Sex Pistols. It is the Sex Pistols. Nailed it.
I knew it 100%, fully confident.
Queen were booked to appear on Tonight with Bill Grundy in December 1976, and they pulled out because of Freddie Mercury's first dental appointment in 15 years. And the Sex Pistols were brought on instead. And the
beautiful.
Rest is history.
Well done.
I was kind of hoping like he did bump into like one of them in the dentist waiting room.
That would be super cute.
That would have been a better story.
Your story better. Very wholesome.
I don't know how many we've got. We've got a few, right? I think.
We got all of them right.
Oh, we've got two right. Two right, two wrong. Okay, we've got one left.
Oh boy.
So I feel like if we get this right, we've got the majority right.
Okay.
And we don't have to give up our careers.
What do we win? Do we erase bisexual eraser?
Yes.
Okay.
In a survey last year, what sex position was revealed as the most popular by British people? Was it missionary, cowgirl, or doggy?
Should we shout it out the window and see? I don't know British people. I feel like... The most common one, or the someone said
most popular by British people. Like, I can't imagine if asked, like, what's your favorite position, people would say missionary, would they?
I feel like they wouldn't want to, but I feel like if it was like a written survey, I feel like if they were asked, they'd be like, oh, cowgirl, you know, something.
Because they want
to, they want to be. Everybody wants to be fun, but let's be real.
Yeah,
it was probably missionary, right?
I think you might be right. You know, I think it entirely depends how this survey was conducted. I think if in private, a lot of people might actually be like missionary. I know it's boring, but I like it. But you're right. Mm-hmm. Put on the spot. You want to be the
fun
person.
What was the other option?
So missionary, cowgirl, or doggy. Okay. I feel like it could be doggy. Because this isn't just LGBT plus people. This is all
this
people.
Is everyone.
And I feel like there is like quite a... there's like a thing about doggy, isn't there? I say this like I know what I'm talking about. I just feel
it's very in.
It's something you always hear like in movies, like, oh, they did it doggy style, that kind of thing. I feel like, so maybe.
Maybe we should go with doggy?
Shall we? Yeah.
I'm a fan. Honestly, why not?
Okay, we're going to say doggy is the most popular sex position amongst British people. Missionary, you were right. I shouldn't. That was my fault. 31% of Brits said that missionary was their favourite. Doggy is shortly behind. Cowgirl is 15%. And spooning. That's not a sex position, but I love that makes the list.
That's adorable.
7% just like to spoon. I feel like that's me.
I like that they just included that. Oh, I'm with you. My first EP was called Little Spoon.
It was indeed, which is just the best name for an EP ever. I think we should have a little bit more music.
Sounds good.
Let's do a little bit of Superpower by Adam Lambert.
There's something missing and I'm pissed and I got something to say. Oh yeah.
I know that you like to put like the LGBT plus community at the heart of everything you do, which we've already discussed, and I think that's amazing. But I also know that you like to collaborate with other LGBT plus artists.
Absolutely.
And you have something coming up, which is a collaboration with Jessie Page.
Yes.
I believe. Tell me all about that.
She's so wonderful. I saw her on YouTube a few years ago. She's just incredible. Another, you know, bi visibility activist. And we wanted to do something for Bi Visibility Day, which is in September. But we didn't. We were really behind, but we ended up
It happens.
But still, we managed to write a song, recorded and shoot the music video all within a week.
That is insane. What, like, you would like, crazy. Let's do this, and then a week later it was done?
Yes. We sat down, first time we met, wrote out some lyrics, took it to your producer, done, boom, bam, and then shot a music video.
That is insane. Isn't that crazy? That is absolutely. And so I love it when people are able to like do like creative things like that so quickly.
It just
like,
falls together.
I'm always very, I'm like really impressed with like Kim Petras, who seems to like release a new song every week. And I'm like, how are you
She's incredible.
Doing this? Like, how are you doing this? But you seem to also possess this superpower.
Working on it.
So the song is called Not a Phase.
Yes.
And it's coming out on October 11th. Is that right? I didn't know there was a music video to come alongside it, though. So what can we expect from the video itself?
See, so I can't give away too much, but it's hot.
It's hot.
Hot AF. Yeah, it's good.
That is the best way to answer that question. What more do we need to know? It's hot. We all need to watch it when it comes out.
Yes.
How do you feel about, like, LGBT plus representation as a whole? Because I feel like we are getting more representation in music, and I definitely feel like if we compare now to 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, like off the top of my head, I would be able to list off a long list of LGBT plus artists, which I think is incredible. And there's like intersectionality amongst that as well, so it's not just like white gay men. We have lots of different people across the board, but I still think there's a long way to go. I think because we've almost been deprived of representation for so long, now we have a little bit. It feels like we're drowning in it, but we're not. I feel like there's still so long way to go.
Not at all. It's crazy because so many musicians throughout the years have been part of the LGBT community. It's just something that you weren't allowed to say for a very long time. And now people are starting to celebrate it. But with that, you're also seeing kind of this backlash of, oh, it's another bisexual ukulele player.
Yeah.
Cool. Pigeonhole kind of thing. Or artists that are being put on LGBT playlists, which isn't great, and we have this community, but then they're not being pushed to the mainstream still because now they're part of this little niche audience. Oh, you're a gay singer. You go here. So to be able to give representation but also expand and encourage these artists and give them not just a, you know, LGBT platform, but a platform in general is kind of the direction I hope it goes.
Yeah, I think we still have this thing about, you know, like trying to keep artists in the closet and things like this. You know, we get people, apparently people within the industry telling people not to come out because it will somehow damage their career, which I find like, I find that a really interesting and strange take because, you know, I can think of like take Troye Sivan, for instance. He came out and his success only skyrocketed. And this idea that, you know, oh, no, like the teenage girl fans will no longer want to listen to his music if he comes out as gay. But like, it's not true at all. Like they became even more obsessed and even more supportive.
And then
which
he
is,
had all these teenage boy fans.
Yeah, exactly. So like, I find that weird. And like, I, again, this is such an enormous question that I know like we can't really answer this. But like, how do we fix this? How do we, it's like a massive problem where we're trying to stop people from coming
out,
which
fear. There's so much fear. I think it's even bigger than just identifying as LGBT. I think it's just fear of being authentic and off the beaten path. There's a very specific, you think of musician, you think someone with a guitar, their hair is like this, they look like this, and stepping outside of that box is something that scares the music industry team because they have a product they need to deliver, and they think of musicians like a business most of the time. So you need to fit an image that they can control and brand and then deliver. So it's kind of a risk-taking thing as well. I mean, this just reminded me, I've had a writer in Los Angeles say to my publicist, she's bi, that's great, it's trending right now.
Oh, gosh.
And that just made me sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
Because also they were, you know, saying, oh, this is great. They're really into it because they think being bisexual is very trendy right now. And that for me is like, no, let's not even get near this person. Because looking at representation as something, oh, yeah, it's cool, we can talk about it now, is...
It's like your sexuality is being seen as a commodity and we can like trade in it. And when it's popular, great, let's, you know, shout about it. And when it's not popular, oh, let's sweep it under the rug.
Back that's, in the closet.
that's horrific. Yeah. And I'm so sorry that this is... but I mean, I'm sure there's wonderful things about the music industry as a whole as well.
There's so many great things.
Yeah.
But it is important to talk about those little things too, just to because it was just so surprising to me, where I thought, oh right, so this is how some people see it.
Yeah. Well, I think I've kept our lovely listeners waiting long enough. I want to play some of your music now. So this is Discover. Yes. Remind us again, tell us a little bit about this song.
Brand new, just came out. It's about exploring. And when the first time I sang it, I was like, this is so cheesy. This is ridiculous. But I was very depressed at the time. And the more I listened to myself play the song, I just felt better and better, because it's just very genuinely, the chorus is, go outside, get outside, see the world, get off your ass and just let yourself live a little, allow yourself joy.
I love that so much. So this is Discover, Lucy and Lemaire.
Vegas is in the studio.
This morning, I lost 20 minutes thinking, what would I do if an ostrich came in again? And that's 20 minutes I'm never getting back.
What would you do?
My first instinct was, I'd try and bring it down with my shoulders, my upper body strength and some laces.
Right, okay.
Then I thought maybe I'd tie two trainers together and do a... go for the ankle.
That would hurt it, yeah.
Bring it down like an atat.
Yeah. If I did manage to capture it, whose neighbour's garden would I let it free in? Why must I get stuck with this bloody ostrich?
Every Monday. Ian Boothworth. Wandsworth
from 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Lucy, it's time for my favourite part of the show.
All right.
It's time for sex confessions. So our lovely listeners have sent in some of their confessions, some of their general questions about life and dating and sex and relationships. Awesome. And we're just going to react to these. So thank you so much to everyone who has sent these in. If you would like to send any in for future shows, you can do that by emailing callum@fubarradio.com. And it is completely anonymous, so we won't read out your name or anything on air. Lucy, would you like to read the first one for me?
Yes. All right, here
you
we
have
go.
Such a beautiful voice, so, you know, get the most of it.
I'm practicing my radio voice. I'll be as sexy as you.
I'll take that.
My best friend is really struggling with my new they, them pronouns. It's starting to bug me, but she's trying. Any advice?
Ooh, this is a tricky one. Like, I think, like, the fact that this person's friend is trying is, I think, the most important thing. But the I'm wondering why... they're struggling so much to kind of come, because I'm going to admit that, like, it can be tricky, especially if you've known somebody for a long time and, you know, they come out as non-binary and they say, I'm going to use they them right. pronouns mm-hmm. now. It can be be tricky to adjust to that. And the same as somebody changes their name as well. Like, I've accidentally dead named friends when they've, you know, changed mm-hmm. their name because mm-hmm. I've gotten so used to calling them one thing.
Yes.
And it's like you almost need to reset your brain. Okay. So I do understand that it can be quite difficult, but it's not that difficult.
So there might be something going on.
Yeah. So I'm like, I feel like
hesitation.
Maybe I wonder if you've had. I don't know if this person's had a conversation with their friend, but I feel like maybe that conversation should happen. Like, I absolutely appreciate mm-hmm. that you're trying, but you're getting it wrong a lot, and you know that can be causing me dysphoria. It can be causing me a lot of distress. Can
absolutely.
We have a conversation? Mm-hmm. Is there any way that you're able to try a little bit harder to
yes.
get my pronouns correctly? I've got people's pronouns.
Yes.
wrong before. I think a lot of people have. It's something that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think make sure that your friend is, like, if they are getting it wrong, that they apologize and that they just acknowledge that they're getting it wrong.
Yes.
You know, because I think that's
yes.
important as well.
That goes a long way as well. And plus, when they recognize that they've, you know, made a mistake, they can correct it.
Yes.
Something like saying it again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's an interesting one, but I wish you and your friend the best of luck, and I hope that You figure the situation out, because it is important. It's really
yeah.
important. Okay, I'm going to read the next one. I've just started sixth form, and none of my secondary school friends are here with me. I'm bisexual and feel like I've got to come out all over again. And they've put a sad face at the end. That's really, really tough, actually. Oh gosh, like this feels like I'm rubbing it in, but I feel like it's almost like a relevant experience. Like, when I went to sixth form, I had the complete opposite experience. So I went to secondary school and was completely in the closet, surrounded by people who would constantly make homophobic jokes. And then I moved on to sixth form and, like, everyone was gay. It was weird. Like,
no way.
Everyone was gay.
Wow.
In my music class, there was 8 of us and we were all gay. And it was like, what is happening here?
Wow.
Completely feels like I'm rubbing it in. But I, like, that transition from, you know, going the other way, I can't imagine, like, how heartbreaking that must feel to be like, oh, I've come out to all these people, I've gone through that journey of acceptance, and now here I am in sixth form, and I suddenly don't feel like I'm accepted, and I've got to come out all over again.
Yeah. Oh, that's got to be hard.
Really tough. Really, really tough. And, like, I guess, I don't know what my advice for this person would be. I mean, I guess... I like to think that there will be people in your sixth form that will absolutely accept you for who you are as well. And although it's mm-hmm. frustrating that you have to kind of build those friendships and build that community again, that you absolutely can. And also, like, you don't need to, like, drop your secondary school friends. I'm sure you can still see them out of school, outside of school,
yeah.
etc.
And remember that you've done this before
yeah.
as well. It was hard the first time. Hopefully it'll be a little easier again.
Yeah, I really hope so. Yeah, so I definitely wish this person all the luck in the world. And I also want to say, like, I feel like coming out is something that we kind of have to do over and over again throughout our lives. Obviously
Whenever
not to this degree, but, like, every time you meet someone new, and the amount of times it tends to be, like, straight men I feel most uncomfortable around, and that's on me, really. But I always hesitate, and it's like, oh, I'll go to say like, oh, I've been dating this guy, or you know, mm-hmm. you casually try and slip it in conversation. And I just this Tesla panic waters. And fear,
gay panic.
Yeah, and it's usually fine. Like they're usually completely accepting almost mm-hmm. every single time, but it's that fear still it is there. I think it's something that maybe a lot of people outside the LGBT plus community don't realize, that we have to constantly be coming out over Definitely. And over again for our entire lives. It never ends.
Definitely. And I will say also, just from my perspective as a bisexual, something I've had to do, I'll be dating someone who identifies as a man, and I, you know, some people won't know I'm bisexual, and then I'll be dating a woman, and people go, oh, you're gay now.
Right.
And I think it's kind of a flip-flop situation. It's like, no, I'm always bisexual.
I hate Ta-da. The people that say you're gay now. Like, your sexuality isn't dependent on who you are currently dating.
Yeah. Or you're straight again. I see. Oh, it was a phase? It was a phase.
For God's sake. I mean, I'm laughing, but that's actually, like, a massive issue.
It's
and
annoying.
It's so annoying. Would you like to read the next one for me, Lucy?
Someone I just met already tells me a day after that they're falling in love with me. I don't know what to say back.
Ooh. Mm. I assume that this is somebody I just met, as in like a dating scenario, right? Or just a friend. I think either way, the fact that you've met them and the next day that they're saying they're falling in love with you, that is quite intense.
That's a little flag.
That's a worry. But also, like, I feel like this is the kind of thing that I would have done when I was like 16 and still figuring myself out. Like, if like anyone showed me any sign of attention, I would have like latched onto them, being like, "Oh my god, I'm in love with you!" Like, I was a little crazy.
We're all crazy.
So you know, like, it's difficult. Obviously, like, you look out for yourself is the bottom line. I think we're so inclined to like constantly be worrying about other people and, you know, protecting their feelings. And of course that's important, but you also need to protect yourself. So if that is a little bit much, definitely set some boundaries. And if you like this person as well, I'm not sure if you do or not. I couldn't quite ascertain that from what you've written. But if you do like them, I would say don't write them off because of it, but maybe just again, boundaries.
Yes.
Set them now, and hopefully it won't get out of control.
Yes.
Okay, we have one more. Oh gosh, this is quite a heavy one. I was sexually assaulted at age 18, and although I know it's good to talk, I hardly speak about it. Is that okay? I think obviously it's whatever you feel comfortable with. If you don't want to talk about it, then I think you have absolutely no obligation to talk about it. I know that if it was me, that I certainly wouldn't be. I would only talk about that with my closest people in my life, maybe close family members, best friends kind of thing. So absolutely, I would say absolutely don't feel pressured to speak about it. If you do feel like you're bottling it up though, and it is something that you're not speaking about, but you're aware that you feel like you need to in order to kind of heal, then maybe some professional help could help with that, because, you know, somebody who's trained, somebody who's qualified might be able to guide you through the process of opening up about it, of coming to terms with what happened, etc. Also I want to say, because this is such a big and heavy one, neither me or Lucy are trained. I know you did do a little bit of, but I think it's fair to say that neither of us are trained, so neither of us can properly answer this question, and you might want to speak to a professional about this one.
And I would say, just being aware that if it's all right not to speak about it, if you know that you can, and you know that there is someone who will listen and someone who will talk with you when you do choose, or when you do want to express how you're feeling about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we can probably squeeze one more in, Lucy. Do you want to do this last one?
Mm-hmm.
This one seems quite topical, actually.
Okay. My best friend is gay, and I'm a guy, and recently came out as bisexual. My best friend thinks I can't make up my mind and is trying to make me be fully gay like him. How do I get through to him that I'm absolutely bisexual?
Well, I feel like this is the running theme of the conversations we've had
we
on the show
you.
This evening. that is so very frustrating. How do you get through to him? That do you have any advice on this, Lucy? If you had people in your life that have just refused to accept.
I still have people in my life that think, oh, are you, you know, straight or gay now? I think the most important thing in this situation would just be explaining to your friend, hey, you're overlooking my identity.
Yeah.
Me as a person, I identify as bisexual, you identify gay. It's great. We're both our own person. We can enjoy checking out guys together.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, I need to recognize this within me. That's so frustrating.
Yeah.
Really hard.
I would also go as far to say is, you know, the fact that your friend is like trying to force you to be gay, they're trying to force you to be like them. Like, I think that maybe shows a little bit of insecurity on their part. Mm-hmm. You know, so there might be something going on there as well. If they're like trying to just make you a carbon copy of them when you're your own
yes.
person with your own identity, and like, They need to accept it. I mean, you shouldn't have to have a conversation. Like, I wish we lived in a world where you could just say, look, dude, I'm bisexual. That's mm-hmm. the way I am. Like, accept it. And they would accept it. But it sounds like there's a little bit of difficulty there.
Yes. Maybe he's just really excited to have a new gay best friend.
Maybe, yeah. But it probably does come from a place of love. Mm-hmm. But it's very frustrating. It's a frustrating
Definitely.
Place of love. But I hope you can figure it out. I think always communication.
Yes.
It's the solution
always.
To most, I was going to say all life's problems, most of life's problems, not all of them. It won't. Lucy, we have come right up to the end of the show now. But I want people to follow you on your journey. I want them to support your music. I want them to do everything to support you because you're incredible.
Oh, thank you so much.
What is the best way people can do that? Stream your music, buy your music, follow
yes.
you on socials.
Yes, the new song is on Spotify with another single on the way, plus a full EP this month. And please follow me. Send me DMs. I love to chat. I'm always in a train or on a bus somewhere, so I do always respond to DMs. Lucy and La Mer is my artist name. La Mer means the sea. It does not mean a horse, as we discussed earlier. And yes, I can't wait to meet you.
And your new song, remind us what it's called?
Discover.
And you've got Not a Phase with Jessie Page coming out in just a couple
yes.
of weeks as well. Well, Lucy, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. And I'm going to play you
so
out
much.
With some of my favorites. This is Tegan and Sarah. You go away, and I don't mind. See you later.
I'm complicated, I was raised by icons, touched by saints, still powerless, scared and lost, cursed like novelty, crushed and cracked, I'm powerless. Millions, a slow reaction hits my blood. If I get famous, inflamed by gravity, pretend to notice, kiss my skills. Most, it's your mind that makes you mine. It's your mind that makes you mine. It's your mind that makes you mine. Go away, go away. I don't mind. Go away, go away. I'll be fine. Thank you.
bye, I know I'll miss you.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.